Yeah, MIC4. Oh, yeah, record. Oh, okay. You learn on your show, guy. Oh, okay. Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay. It's very funny because yesterday I I left her first time at Center. And I do this MTMC thing. We're going here. Yeah. Yeah. Going to the old assembly. Yeah, this is very important. Thank you.
At least. And my phone too, I said, we have all my phone numbers in the number.
I'm supposed to be here, I'm not into this, but there's no one who
When you go straight, slip the
door. Can't tell information.
Let's change the venue. No. We were here yesterday, but no. Now it's called Hope. I don't know what that is.
Rudolph!
Oh. Which one is this place? Which venue?
It's the old chamber here.
Okay, where was it supposed to be?
It was supposed to be here.
At the old
assembly.
Okay. Just walk
straight up, then straight out. Uh-huh. And then turn right. At the end, turn right. You see? Up the stairs. You see that building there? That white building?
Uh-huh.
It's there. There's a group.
Good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. May I officially declare this meeting late, and may I also apologize for late start. We were just waiting on provinces to arrive because I'm quite aware that other people seem not to know where this place is. They were looking for it inside Parliament buildings there. Nevertheless, we will proceed. This is a continuation of yesterday's meeting where we have invited provinces to present to us their performance with regard to the land care plan for the last quarter of the previous financial year and the first quarter of this year. My name is Edwin Chane. I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriations. My colleagues with me, right at the corner, are Honorable Makubela from the Limpopo province. Next to him is Honorable Charles Didier from the Northern Cape. Then we then have Honorable Mashile from Mpumalanga. And we have Honorable Becker from Western Cape. And Honorable Lees from the KZN. I will quickly request honorable members on this queue to introduce themselves.
Good morning, my name is Ukhalale Sengkarek from National Treasury.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Gerrit van Rensburg, the MET of Agriculture in the Western Cape. And yet, they can introduce themselves.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Julian Isaacs, and I'm the head of agriculture in the province, Western Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Floris Huysama. I'm the CFO, agriculture, Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Andre Roux. I'm the program manager for sustainable resource management under which Land Care falls in the province.
Good morning, my name is Nandi Mayatulokoza. I'm the MEC in Gauteng for Agriculture, Rural Development and Environment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will then proceed. There are just slight changes on the program. I would first call National Treasury for the benefit of the MECs, because you're not here yesterday. They had actually quite a brief presentation from National Treasury in terms of their performance as per the reports that they received from you as provinces. And thereafter, if there's no any questions for clarity or any corrections, my provinces will then immediately give the opportunity to Western Cape to make their presentation. National Treasury.
Thanks, Chair, and honorable members and MECs. The purpose of the grant is to enhance the sustainable conservation of national agricultural resources through a community-based participatory, to create job opportunities through the APWP program, to create a lovely environment for improved food security and poverty alleviation. And the allocation of this grant is the criteria used by index comprising of nodes, land capability, poverty, degradation and land care, land size. So, in terms of the first quarter spending, the spending was very low at 5.5%, with Gauteng not spending anything in the first quarter and KwaZulu following by 21.9%. And we have noted that Eastern Cape, KwaZulu and Gauteng, they have regressed in terms of their spending when we compare their spending to same period in the last financial year, that they have really spent low, while Northern Cape has spent 8.1%, but they have improved their spending by 189,000 more than last year, and we've noted that Northern Cape is the only province that spent more than 20%. Some of the first quarter performance reports outlines the following challenges: that there were delays in procurement processes in certain provinces like Eastern Cape. A number of provinces reported no jobs created against the targets, which include Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northwest. And those three provinces reported that no land users benefited from the program in their provinces, and there was no money spent in that regard in the first quarter. The following five provinces, Free State, Gauteng, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape, reported that no hectares of land, cultivated land, were rehabilitated or protected. And the National Department has also reported expressed concern regarding late submission of performance reports by provinces in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. We have also looked at the spending as at 31 July 2011, and have noted that there's been a slight improvement from 5.5% to 14.8%. And we have noted that only three provinces have spent more than 30%, which is Free State, Gauteng, and Western Cape, while KwaZulu is the lowest spending at 5.5% again. And Free State has significantly improved, and also we have noted Mpumalanga has also significantly improved in terms of when you compare same period in the last financial year. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Any clarity on the presentation or any corrections? Honourable Mashire?
No, Chair, it's not necessarily a clarity question for that much, except to really check with Treasury whether there were certain attempts to actually get explanations for the Gauteng non-expenditure, whether there were efforts that were made from Treasury to check with Gauteng whether they've got any specific problems relating to this particular grant, or whether they are boycotting it.
Any other questions or comments? National Treasurer? Treasurer? Or do you want to comment on that?
Thanks, Chair. Before the Section 32 reports are published, We do give, because in our case we communicate with the provincial treasuries, we do give them the numbers we have submitted to them again to verify information whether it's correct. So, but in this case, the National Department is supposed to get, when they submit the report to us, it must indicate whether they're, because they are administering the grants, and they're supposed to monitor the implementation of the program in terms of the business plan submitted. In our view, they're supposed to get clarity from the sector as to why they were not spending in that regard. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You want to add?
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Thanks. There's one particular aspect of the Gauteng reporting that I think has also been a bit problematic, because when we look at the DORA report and the BAS numbers, they differ. So I think it's best if the department can perhaps clarify some of the matters. But as a matter of routine, we then write to the both the national department and the provincial treasury, looking at the first quarter or whenever we get the data. We do an assessment, and then we then engage both the national department as the transferring officer, as well as the provincial treasury regarding this, because there is a discrepancy currently between what is in the Division of Revenue, the report in terms of performance, spending, and the BAS, what is captured on the system. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. I think Gauteng will clarify when they make the presentation. Let's take Western Cape. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. We have sent through slides, and I hope that the members of the other side have the slides that we have sent through. Do you have it here as well? I just want to start, I want to thank you for inviting us, and we are here, we are ready to present to you our report on land care in the Western Cape. The first slide, yeah. As you can observe from the slide, the department has, for the past three financial years, spent all its land care grants completely, but for 1,000 rand in 2008-2009. It has no negative impact on service delivery, no transfers were made, and there is currently no reason to believe that the department will not spend its total allocation in 2011-2012 once again. Coming to the last and the first quarter, some projects were slightly behind schedule in the third quarter, and therefore the projects had to increase spending in the fourth quarter to complete the projects during the fourth quarter, utilizing the available funding. This was mainly caused by junior land care projects that could not be conducted in the third quarter due to school program change and therefore beyond our control, and the continuation of some alien clearing projects that could only take place in the fourth quarter due to flooding after heavy rains in the third quarter. And the reasons for underspending in the first quarter 2011-2012, the challenge with the underspending of the first quarter is due to the cancellation of the Klein Rivier Environmental and Employment Project, KEEP, due to the resignation of the project leader and the maternity leave of the auxiliary officer. Funds will be shifted to the Klein Swartberg project that has the necessary sources. Say, if you want more detail, we can go into it, and I will ask my HOD or André Roux to take it forward.
I will just run through the projects done in the fourth quarter of 2010-11. We have also supplied you with a report to give you more detail. We have done 32 projects in 2010-11. The 21 projects that started in the previous quarters were completed. Six were started and completed, and 696,000 were spent on the above projects. All the targets in 2010-11 were met or exceeded. We have given more detail in the report. For 2011-12, we are planning 26 projects. 12 of the planned 20 were started, and all exceeded planned outputs to make up for those starting later than planned. One was already started and completed. 761,000 was spent on the above projects. All goals for 2011-12 are expected to be met,
except for keep, that we will replace with another project. And as before, there's more detail in the narrative. Just to do the projects comparatively, in the first quarter of 2010-11, we've actually done 32, 15 projects were started, but for one, and all exceeded the targets without additional spending. None of the projects were completed in the first quarter. You can note the amount of money that was spent, and all the detail is provided in the report. Can I just say that we have taken note of National Treasury's concern about the number of hectares not being rehabilitated. That is part of our second quarter because we plan it, and so it will be reported on second quarter going forward. Because we haven't counted it because we haven't completed the projects yet, but we have started it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Van Hansbeck and the team. That your report is very thin when it comes to details, and I don't know if it will make it easy for us to interact with it, because one would have expected, like what other provinces have done, to get an indication of those projects that you are talking about. What is the project? Where is the project? What are your targets? And all those things. The report that you are referring to is your business plan, which also still gives a lot of figures, which is not all other members don't have. But one was expecting to get those things, particularly to know where these projects are that you are planning for this particular year, so that as part of our oversight, we are able to, as and when we want to, visit and just have sight of those particular projects, what your targets are, so that you can be able to measure your performance with regard to the set targets and what you have achieved at the end of the day. We don't necessarily just look at how much you have spent and that's it. We are interested in the services that comes out of this particular project, just to test whether there's value for money. Really, that is the interest of the committee. So, but I hope you are in the position to share with us some of those information. Before I allow for questions, you may proceed.
Okay, we weren't sure how long the presentation should be. So what we've done is we've actually done an additional report besides the business plan that actually gives all the progress in terms of annual numbers, the quarterly targets, what we've actually done, and the variance in different projects. That's for 10-11. We actually send it through as well. It's called the Western Cape Agriculture Yearing Unconditional Grant, and it gives the detail. We just summarized it in the slide presentation, but we've given all the projects. The 32 I mentioned and the 20, we've given you for each a progress. And we did send it through.
Do you mind to share the copy so that we make copies for members?
Or
you have copies?
We have actually brought it there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So sorry.
I think it will assist a lot. Otherwise, you'll spend a lot of time taking questions on something that you could just get
so
clarity on.
I can just
on.
Go through.
You still have time to say something on the report.
Okay. I will do. I'll go through the 2010 and 11 ones first. We have said that we have done 32 projects in 2010-11. We've given to you all the projects and the performance indicators, as well as the measurement of measurement unit, the target, the quarterly target, and the actual performance in quarter four, as well as the variance. So we've done that. We have given explanations where we've exceeded or underperformed. So I can take any of the projects, I'm just going into detail, but we actually do report on this as we. So it's not just done for the committee this morning. It's something that we keep up to date. So you'll note that we do a lot of junior land care. We work with the schools, the education department. We also actually have a lot of alien clearing. We've done alien clearing in Berg River. We have done some work in Fleur and Flay. We have actually also done some alien clearing in Central Karoo, as well as in the Klein Swartberg Conservancy area, Genadendal Conservancy, as well as Tandi and Botrefier, and then Spanjaardskloof and Sandflay, as well as Brede, Lower Brede River, and Hoko, as well as Waarboom's Kraal, Harold, Hartbeest Rivier. Those are the areas that we've done alien clearing. The others are focused very much on junior land care, and then there are a number of projects that, one of it we looked at carbon bio training. Because one of the issues that we're struggling with in conservation is the awareness around, you know, not only conservation, but the use for people on farm and the opportunities that they can use. So we fit it into our land care because often people feel land care is a luxury, and in fact what we say is land care is a given. It's a fundamental. So we use the land care conditional grant to also raise awareness on that. But a lot of our work is on alien clearing, because if we can get the alien clearing or the aliens cleared, especially in catchment areas, you also secure more water for the farming downstream. And then obviously our focus on junior land care, because that's the young, that's the adults of tomorrow. If they understand those concepts, we're going to have less of a battle to get them to care for the nature and for the land and for water. So we spend, and we do fit it, it's not outside the education curriculum, but we do fit it in so that it actually makes sense that we do that part and strengthen education's hand, but also make sure that we actually look at our long-term sustainability in the province. So those are the projects in terms of 2010-11. Can I just say that I'm reporting on the land care conditional grant, but we do put $3 million additional from our own money, equitable share also, to make this project. I haven't reported that. So it's not just a conditional grant. There is too many things that is happening and needs to happen. So we do put equal amounts of equitable share as well. But I haven't reported on it, simply because I thought we have a set amount of time. Okay. Then 11-12, you'll notice again it's land care, the junior land care. It is still the alien clearing, but we started adding river works. Because we find it's also land care starts talking to proactive risk mitigation. Because if we start, we don't look at our rivers, and we've had a case now again in the Southern Cape, where it's so much rain and the river actually isn't cleaned, it's not stabilized, you actually get floods. So we started looking at how do we use our technology and land care equitable conditional grant to start stabilizing. Obviously, $3 million is not a lot of money to go, but at least we started to look at stabilizing those river places that we can see if we don't do something, if there is a lot of rain coming down, we're going to have a problem. So there is now, and you'll start seeing, there's river works in Lanesburg. There's, again, alien clearing and quite a lot. But we also work with nature conservation groups as well as Cape Nature so that we can also augment the funding we get and their funding to do a bigger project. So that's happening. All of this, both 10, 11, and 11-12 as at the basis EPWP jobs. We have projected and we've always exceeded 25,000 person days that we actually do every year. At the moment, we normally do 28,000 EPWP jobs. We reported both to the province and to the National Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, because these projects create the opportunity for us to do that. So I can go into the detail of these projects, but we just thought it's best to separate the presentation into a narrative as well as just the general finance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, any questions for clarity or comments? Honourable Makubela, Honourable Leaf.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the challenges and the remedial step, the underspending, and that one of the cancellation of the KIP project, I understand the reason of the resignation and that one of the maternity, but the problem I'm having is the need of the project which was there before. What did you do about that? And then another question, not all schools were available in the third quarter because of their own programs. Now here, should this thing persist to have their own program, what are you going to do? Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Liz and Honorable Mashile.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the Western Cape for their presentation. You augment the program with equitable share money. So the report in terms of individual projects, is that just the land care money? Okay, so well, that was a quick answer. Then in terms of the way the money is spent, land care indicates a kind of rural emphasis. And a lot of awareness is being done at schools. So is that predominantly in rural areas or is it in the city? And do we really anticipate good value for money if we do spend it in the city rather than in rural schools? So if you could just clarify that. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Honourable Mashile.
Yeah, thanks, President. I was actually looking at the project starting from 2010, 2011, and because what I've just picked up is that most of your projects that you are targeting youth did not fare well, and your 2011-2012, it's like many of them are starting to take off the ground. Now, I actually just wanted to know whether generally you have got a problem in mobilizing the youth into the project that you are intending to do. Then the second question, Chair, is I've taken note of course as well that a session that talks to the usage of equitable shares, probably because equitable shares comes I think right at the beginning. It is not related to any scheduled payments. One would understand that you may not have a problem of actually starting implementation of your project in time. But what I'm looking here, I'm not sure whether there is any hiccups from the public works, but having to plan implementation from the second quarter to the fourth quarter, is it not possible to start them when you have got the resources from somewhere else, if maybe it's the public works late transfers of funds or whatever? The other issue, Chair, I think is just an observation. But probably I think it just needs to be addressed somehow, is that for quite a number of appearances of Western Cape on these grants, the reporting is very strict to the letter that we request them, to an extent that they actually become too much economic about information, and we end up not actually understanding what they are talking to us. And one would really request that it is important that the presentations they make would, of course, to the minimum, be what has been requested, but it will be to the advantage of the department to ensure that there is information relevant to the topics raised for us to be able to understand what they are saying to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Anwar Shile. Thank you.
I'll respond first to Keep. I think what is important is the conditional grant has a set time. So we're not saying we're not doing the Keep project, but at the moment they're not in a position to continue. So we redirect the money to a project that can use it, but we're not actually going to not fund them. But they need to get the house in order before we put money again, because there is a strict time frame to conditional grants. So we use the money where people are ready to take on and then actually go back and actually start or continue in this case. Can I just say the school program? The school program will continue. What we needed to do is sit down with education and the people in the area and say, how do we fit it together again? And this happens with schools because they have other things that they believe it's more important, and then they redirect. So we need to be more vigilant and pick up and make sure that we can make the adjustments before we need to do the work. And that's something that we have learned. For the equitable share, I kept it separate, but we actually do in our annual report put it together, and then the figures are higher. So, but it is important that we also make a contribution from the province, not just from the national grant. Most of the areas that you actually see here, it's very specific names, but it is actually only in the rural areas, or at least 95% is in rural areas that we do spend. Yes, we should actually by right put in the district municipalities as well, so to give you a sense. Then youth mobilization, I think we have done the junior land care. One of the things we probably need to look at as a department is how do you take junior land care to a next level. But we do have in our EPWP, we do have young people that actually forms part of the project. It might not be so many, but we're hoping that the junior land here will give us the dividend so that you can pick up from there and actually take it to a next level. So we are working on it, and that's why we started with junior land care, because we believe it has to be young children, 8 to 9, and take them to the next level. Otherwise, you miss the education cycle. That's the time where you can influence children positively on a way of life. Then the equitable share you have mentioned, what we do, and you'll notice we've given it to the point of what we've done. Some of the projects are planned for later. So it's actually part of our planning. So it's not like we don't start all of it at the same time. We actually structure it. This group, what you also need to remember, is we've been really unfortunate in this province that we've had a lot of disasters that we also had to respond to. This group also deals with that. So what we've learned over time is to stagger our implementation so that when you have disasters, they can do the disasters and the projects, because I don't have separate staff to do the one or the other, so that's why. And then the other is we have a rainy season very much in this province, June, July, the second quarter,
which is a problem for us because a whole range of the work that we need to put in, or people that have to clear aliens, can't get into the field because it's too wet. So what we have done is we have done first quarter to do a lot of work because it's still dry and people can get into the field. Second quarter, less, and we do other work. And then third quarter, when it becomes spring again, we do, because we have a Mediterranean climate. So that's part of our planning as well. Then just the information, we take note. We will actually put more information in. We just weren't sure if we should do all the projects, but we will put in more. I take note of it. Thank you.
Chair, I think there is one crucial question that I just wanted to ask, is to check whether there is part of the budget that is actually being spent by NGOs. Is part of the work that you have delegated to NGOs implemented by them and then you just pay? Or any part of the funds or projects that are done by the local municipalities on your behalf, and then you just, I just want to know if it is the case that any of the projects is done either by a municipality on your behalf or a particular NGO, how do you manage the expenditure and report on the thing?
I'm going to give my CFO the opportunity to just respond to that.
Chair, thank you. We do not do transfers. However, we use the local people, the jobless, to do the work, and we have what we call an implementing agent. They will give us at the end of the month, or just towards the end of the month, they will give us a timesheet of how the people worked, and then we will pay the people. But we never transfer either to local authority nor to any other institution. We pay for work done. In other words, you won't see any spending for which work still needs to be done, which one often gets when you do a straight transfer.
Thank you very much. You're closing the mark, Mr. Van Rensburg.
Again, thanks for inviting us. And if you want to come and see some of these projects, you are more than welcome. You can contact us and we will show you. And if there's more money available, there's a lot of work to do out there. So please, maybe you can help us to get more money.
Thank you very much. And you see,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Only you say, not your officials.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We will just switch off. I don't know who's assisting me with the slides. If we can move to the next slide. Thank you. We will omit those slides, Chair, just for the Honorable Members to read during their spare time. Just our vision and mission. And the 12 outcomes nationally, just to show where the land care is basically aligned. We'll also move on and go straight to the matter. Yes, the purpose of the land care conditional grant, as it has been indicated, is basically as implemented by the department, focuses on restoring and managing natural resources and creating jobs through the EPWP. The grant constitutes 36% of the GDAT EPWP operational budget for this current financial year, and is implemented by a unit within GDAT called Sustainable Resource Management Component. The purpose, therefore, is also to create jobs for women, for the young people, for people with disability, but also for unemployed men in communities, as well as to develop skills and promote human development from the environment to really take care of job creation for these sectors of communities, skills transfer to our people, also to eradicate alien vegetation, to rehabilitate the wetlands in our communities, to take care of the degradation of soil, and to manage the fire breaks, as well as to clean our rivers. The project list, as per the plans of the department, 2010-11, asserts that we, with this fund, the conditional grant only, we planned about two projects. The first one is the Bambamanzi Alien Plant Removal Project, and we planned to do this work in Mohale City. Mohale City is a local council within the West Rand district, so we took care of the communities there. We planned to create 50 jobs by spending 1.9 million rand in Mohale, and we also plan to ensure that 500 hectares is actually cleared of alien vegetation by the people. The second project is the Wongamanzi Alien Plant Removal Project as well, and we plan to do this work in Johannesburg. We also wanted to create 50 jobs, as well as spend an equal amount of 1.9 million rand, and also clear about 500 hectares of alien vegetation. As you can see, in last financial year, we planned to create 100 jobs, and we were going to spend 3.8 million rand. We can move on. This is the project list for 2011-12. We'll come back to 2010-11 just to report on what was the actual performance against the plan. There were three projects that were planned for this year. The first one is the Wongamanzi Alien Plant Removal Project, again in the city of Johannesburg, focusing in one of the peri-urban areas of Orange Farm in Region 3. Again, we planned to create 50 jobs, to spend 1.9 million rand, and again to have an output of 500 hectares removal of alien vegetation. The Londindalo Alien Plant Removal Project in Lesedi. Lesedi is one of the local councils also found in the West Rand. It's also a peri-urban or rural area in Gauteng. There are rural areas in Gauteng. We planned to spend 644,000 rand on this project and to create about 82 jobs. And we also anticipated to remove about 69, to remove vegetation from 69 hectares of land in the city. The third project was the Mohale City local municipality project, again where we were rehabilitating the wetland. The Mohale River in particular in Mohale City. We plan to create about 25 jobs and to spend 1.5 million rand through rehabilitation of one wetland in Mohale City. In total, we plan to create 107 jobs by spending 4 million rand. We will then move on and report, but I do want to, Honourable Chair, to start by answering the question that was asked earlier on, because we agree with the report that was presented by National Treasury earlier on. What we then focused on this report is really to report to date, covering quarter one, but also covering the ensuing months, July and August. But yes, the question that was asked is a very, very important question that I'm also concerned about. It's a question that I've already asked the department to explain, even before today, when we were reporting back to the Executive Council. And the response, Chair, that I got as to why has there been 0% expenditure during quarter one, ending March 2011, is that basically there have been these internal processes, internal administrative processes, slow processes in order to for the SRM Sustainable Resource Management Unit to sign a contract with the service provider. Again, we pay for the work that has been done already. So the service provider will do the work, and the department will then pay for the work done. In this instance, the service provider is Rainwater, working together with the municipalities in Gauteng. I've made reference to the municipalities that we work with. So because of low process of drafting the contracts between the department and the implementing agents, quarter one moved very, very slow. In fact, there was no implementation in quarter one. We only started after July, when the transfer of funds were done to the service provider. In fact, transfer of funds is not really a problem. The problem is the signing of the contract between the SRM as well as Rainwater, our implementing agent. So these are the problems that we experienced, but as I have indicated, I have really, really spoken harshly to the unit to say that really they need to plan in advance. The contracts between themselves and the service provider should in fact be completed at the end of the financial year. Quarter four of the past financial year, that work should really be done. So I've requested them to improve the planning processes to ensure that when quarter one comes, we implement. We don't start planning in quarter one, but we plan during the previous year, quarter one, we actually implement. So we do want to say that as we speak, the HOD is focusing on addressing this matter so that it doesn't happen again in the next year. Probably there will be, in fact, that we commit that there will be improvement right from quarter one in terms of the actual implementation. As such, we are then reporting the work done. As we said, that July the transfers were done, money was transferred as soon as the contract was completed, and the work was already happening. But I think the problem in quarter one was the transfer of funds. But the work was being done, as I indicated, that we pay for work done. The service provider works in advance, and they get paid. So work was happening. So it's not like work was not happening. The only problem was the internal processes, administrative processes, that I have made reference to. So let me then proceed and report on progress to date. But by August, I'm going to refer to my... Okay, I can see. Age is catching up. The total grant project expenditure, Chair, and this is the... Which year is this? Because we should report for year 2010-11 as to how was the performance against the plan. Okay, I think there's a... We need to go back a bit. Yes, service delivery. Service delivery performance. It's supposed to be 2010-2011. Apologies for that, Chair. So we are reporting on performance, actual performance against the project plan that I spoke about. Remember, I spoke about two projects for 2010-2011, the Bambamanzi project in Mukhale, as well as the Wangamanzi in the city of Johannesburg. So we are reporting on that. So with the first project, the EPWP jobs that we planned to create were 50. The annual target was 50 in the last financial year, and the annual performance was indeed 50, which means that we did meet the target set for last year. And when you look at the output in terms of the hectares of land where we remove alien vegetation, the annual target was 500 hectares, and the actual performance was 510.5 hectares. So you see a positive variance there of 10.5, which means that we exceeded the target in terms of removal of alien vegetation. Explanation for that, basically, indeed, I think the team within the department, but also the service provider and the municipalities are hardworking, despite, you know, the slow wheels of administration grinding during quarter one, but the teams continue with the work. The second project, the Wangamanzi project in the city of Johannesburg, We also plan to create 50 jobs through that work, as well as remove island vegetation on 500 hectares of land. We met the target of job creation of 50 jobs were created, and the hectares of land the target was not really met. I think there is a negative variance there of 72. So instead of 500 hectares, we achieved 128 hectares. The reason is that, again, is the rainfall. There was rain for 32 days in Gauteng during this period, as well as operational challenges, including transportation of material, herbicides, chain challenges, which were experienced by the team. So in total, during 2010-2011, we created 100 jobs as planned, and we removed alien vegetation from 938.5 hectares of land instead of, I think, a total of 1,000 hectares. So that was 2010-2011, Chair, in terms of the plans and the actual performance. So in summary, I think 2010-11 went well, just except for the challenge of rain, fall, and those other challenges that I made reference to. We move then on to the 2011-2012 actual performance. We had planned three projects. We have planned three projects for this financial year. The first project, the Wongamanzi project, and we said this is a project that is taking place in the city of Johannesburg in Orange Farm area. We plan to create again 50 jobs and to remove alien vegetation from 500 hectares of land. The actual performance is such that indeed 50 jobs have been created, because these are the people who work from quarter one up until the last quarter. So it's the 50 people that benefit from EPWP. In terms of the hectares of land, instead of 125 hectares, the actual performance was 50 hectares as we speak now, and there's a negative variance of 75 hectares. The reason being the rainy day, training and shortage of chainsaw operators. Additional chainsaw operators are to be appointed as we speak to reach the target. The progress will therefore be made in the next quarter. With the second project this financial year, Londindalo Island Plant Removal, EPWP project, the plan was to create 32 jobs. Indeed, 32 jobs are being created as we speak. So the target is being met as at August. Hectares of land, 69 hectares for the annual target, as at the end of August, 32 hectares of land. So there we have exceeded the target in terms of the hectares. The expenditure and output are on target as per August 2011-2012. The third project is the Machales River Wetland Rehabilitation Project. We plan to create 25 jobs in Machales River Wetland Rehabilitation, and so far indeed 25 EPWP jobs have been created. The wetland is actually underway to target. It's being rehabilitated as we speak. However, we do state that the project started late, even if we are on course in terms of quarter one. It started late in June due to recruitment and orientation. Output will be reached in fourth quarter as planned. But I have alluded, Chair, to the fact that indeed the unit that is responsible needs to plan in advance and start performing on the first quarter. So the total grant project expenditure during 2011-12 first quarter is such that we have spent 762,460 rand, which is 19% of 4 million. And as I've indicated, Chair, work has been happening since quarter one. But the transfer of funds, the payment, I think is a slow process. But as we speak now, if we move to the next project, the next slide. If you go back to 2010 and 2011, I think there we reflect 100% expenditure on the land care conditional grant, the 3.8 million rand. And then this year, as per end of August, we reflect 47% expenditure, but we do acknowledge the report presented by the National Treasury earlier on of 0% as at end of March. But as at end of August, we are at 47% because I think the finance department has tried to expedite the process of transfer. As soon as they got the contract, the documents done, the CFO was able to pay the service provider. So the assessment of monitoring and evaluation and capacity constraints has progressed well in spite of the problems alluded to earlier on. The department is using SRM to implement this project as well as to report on a monthly basis. There is capacity to monitor and evaluate this program, but we hope to increase that capacity to supplement the work that is done by this unit. So as at end of August, we are saying we have met all the reporting requirements on time in terms of compliance with monthly reports, and there are no substantial challenges experienced except for the challenges that I spoke about of the first quarter. But as we speak now, as per end of August, everything is in place, work is basically happening. So in conclusion, there are no, as we speak now, there are no specific land care programs supporting farmers. So we use the land care grants, especially on issues of sustainable resource management through EPWP, you know, removal of alien vegetation, rehabilitation of wetlands, etc. But the agricultural component, I think, is not basically used through these grants. I think the department uses the equitable share to carry out other land care programs in the province. And I'm sure if there's a question on that, we can provide the information. We do not have it with us as we speak. So the grant is spent 100% annually. We did not show you the trends, but on an annual basis, we have been spending 100%. But the unit indicates to us all the time that there is a need for additional allocations. But I always say to them, you must indeed demonstrate expenditure on time, even before you ask for additional funding. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Honourable Member. Honourable Liz, Honourable Gutierrez, Makubela, Masile, Nakora.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Gauteng for the presentation. Yes, makhulumo ngoGauteng isithombo vele ngaphambi kwami, i-traffic eningi, ama-hijackings, got the land care angiboni ngampela. You know, it's the images that, you know, what land care is there to do in Gauteng, of course, that's a very biased kind of image. So forgive me for being prejudiced against your province. Given my kind of perception, which to some extent is based on a very small land mass, and I think that's reflected in the amount of money allocated, there doesn't seem to be anything going into this kind of abandoned mine work or anything like that. Is that kind of left to environmental affairs, minerals, and not minerals, whatever the department's called now, I've forgotten. Is there no, and I know you're saying it's a little bit of money, and it certainly is a little bit of money, but isn't that one of the priorities in your province when it comes to land care? And forgive me for making a sarcastic remark about your province, but this is now a serious question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and to the MEC doing the presentation. You can see the MEC knows what's going on in the department. very interesting chairperson to listen to this presentation and the previous presentation. The emphasis here was placed on the creation of jobs. The previous presentation, we heard about how many people attended, how many person, EPWP person days that was mentioned there. Just came to my mind when I perused through the document of the Western Cape again. Now, Treasury, in your report, when the chairperson started the session yesterday morning, he asked the province's president, when you come here, you must check your figures. And the eyes with Treasury. Treasury's report, the spending for the first quarter is 0% on page 11. In the presentation, it's 19%. Now, between the two, between Treasury and the province, you will have to sort this out, because then this figure should have been not 0%, but 19% on the Treasury presentation. You must please explain it to us, or I'm missing something. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is only one question. Even though the purpose of the conditional grant is not for the purpose of equity, but I'm struck to see this sentence here, say, creating of job for women, youth, disabled, you know, which I would like to know is the breakdown of the difference, the disabled, how many women, how many youth, if you're able to tell us. Even though it is, or I know, that is the reason why the government says we must also check on the equity line. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jefferson. I'm interested to know two things from Gauteng. Does Gauteng actually have scope of work for these specific funds made available to them? Or are you just begging really to spend the money? Two, the issue relating to alien plant. I was of the opinion that this was part of the Working for Water project, that it is funded there massively as poverty alleviation and job creation. How are these, the projects Gauteng is doing related to the funds being made available through that Working for Water, which I think it has been transferred to Environmental Affairs or something like that, that particular project. And it is being funded from there. And how are they related? The last question, Chair, is when it comes to money spent on rehabilitating wetlands, I think it will be a little bit informative if we have an estimate of the number of hectares of the specific wetlands that we're talking to. So that, because it's a lot of money that I think you earmarked to spend on there. And, I think those are the three questions, Chair, that I just wanted to check with them. And of course, Chair, is even though that the money is spent somewhere else, and when they receive the invoices,
surely they should have given an indication of expenditure to Treasury, even though that they may not have had the transfer. Because what has happened now with them, with the expenditure incurred by their service providers, because funds are not transferred or certain business, whatever, business plans or agreements have not been signed, then they kept the expenditure that has accrued to them actually away from those that they were supposed to report to. Probably that's why now it leads to this kind of reporting where Treasury reports zero spending when actually it is not zero. Thanks.
Thank you, honourable members. My question is, MEC, I want to know, well, the Bambamans project, what is the cost for fluctuation, particularly, in fact, you'll see that the previous year you spent more, created 50 jobs, covering 500 hectares. 20 level, still the same number of jobs created, same hectare, but less amount. One would have expected it to go up given the increase in number of things, but it's going down. If you can, one can get an explanation. But at the same time, you agreed earlier on that indeed during the first quarter there was no expenditure, something that was also concerning you to an extent that you raised it up with your officials, and the reason you advanced, or the reason they gave you, and the reasons provided in this report are contradictory to each other. I would like to know what is the exact reason for non-expenditure during the first quarter. Now, seeing that some of the projects flow from the previous year, insofar as it relates to job creation, the 50 jobs that the project creates this year, as against the 50 that were created last year, is it new jobs, this one, or is 50 on top of the 50 of the previous year, they continue to be 100, or what is actually the situation there? And well, indeed, Honorable De Beer is correct that despite the acceptance of 0%, but the report at the same time seems to suggest that 19% was actually spent on the first quarter, but the reality is that the expenditure of 47% is what is the situation between the end of June and now, or to be exact, 15th of August as per your report. So if you could just clarify those particular contradictions. The report also seeks to say there were no substantial challenges experienced during the first quarter. Now, if there were no serious challenges and there were no expenditure, and again linking it with the reasons that the officials gave you, again, you still find those particular contradictions. I mean, the report says the other thing that then if we are to seriously interrogate the report itself, we would want to know, if there were no serious challenges, why was there no expenditure then in the first instance? Then my last question would relate to, if you could just explain to us how your arrangements with your service provider, the implementing agents, I pick it in the report that they will use their own money and claim later from yourself. Then you make those transfers to the department, which in this case would make a perfect sense that for you to be able to have spent that particular for 47% in a month's time, obviously there was just transfer to those particular service providers. That being the case, one would want to know what mechanisms are in place to verify the actual work done before any payment is made. Because in terms of reporting, if you have transferred the money, it will appear as if you have spent, but we are interested to the end result. But I think my question is clear. Thank you, ma'am. You may respond.
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much, Chair, and to the honourable members. I will answer the easy ones and leave all the difficult ones to the CFO. But I'm sure all the questions asked and the inputs made are really useful for us to indeed improve the work that we do on an ongoing basis. I need to clarify maybe the first thing that indeed we did agree to the report of the Treasury that in quarter one there was 0%. However, indeed the report says that quarter one of 2011-12, 19%. So I want to clarify that 19% is actually money spent by the service provider while they are waiting for the transfers from the department. So I think we should have clarified that better. We do apologize for lack of clarity in the presentation. But the issue is that it's 19% money spent by the service provider, Rainwater in this case, working with municipalities. 47% is then money transferred from the department to the service provider, and not only as per end of March, but it's as per end of August. That is to date. We agreed earlier on that quarter one there was 0% expenditure from the department, but from the service provider it was 19%. I hope it is clear, but the CFO will further clarify that. Okay. Yes, I hope that takes care of the first question as to why the funds were transferred to the service provider late. I think there was a question also on the reason, the real reason as to why there were delays in transfers. I think I tried to respond to that or to explain that at the beginning. But I'm sure the CFO will also add, I did say that it's basically the administrative internal processes. I can call it poor planning, and I've spoken very, harshly to the department that we can't continue to plan in a poor way. We have to improve that. You need to plan in advance so that when the financial year begins, implementation should actually occur. So it was a problem of the slow processes of agreeing on the contract between the department, the SRM unit, and Rainwater. But that was then sorted out when the documents were done in July. Finance department headed by the CFO was then able to transfer the funds in July. So it's internal poor planning processes of the unit. Together with the service provider, which I have said that should really be improved. It can't continue going forward. The issue of the mines, a very, very challenging aspect of our environment in Gauteng is that of the acid mine drainage problem. What we have done as the Gauteng Executive Council is that this work has really been given to the Department of Local Government and Housing, so they are our leading champion in as far as addressing the issue of water resource management in Gauteng as a whole, including the challenge of acid mine drainage. But our Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, including Environment, is then working together with the Department of Local Government and Housing in addressing this situation. And what we have done so far, Chair, we have visited the area, the Central Basin, Johannesburg, the Western Basin, Westrand, as well as the Eastern Basin, Eburuleni. Indeed, the challenge is huge there. But fortunately, working together with the Interministerial Committee, the Minister of Water Affairs and Environment, Minister of Minerals and Energy, etc., we then have been able to contribute to the report that has now been provided as to how this challenge is going to be addressed. But as a province led by the Department and the MEC of Local Government and Housing, we are also raising awareness in the province, meeting with the communities through the municipalities, but also we now have a strategy on water resource management, which also includes approaches on how we are going to address the problem of acid mine drainage. Of course, a strategy was developed by the Department of Local Government and Housing. We contributed it insofar as impact on the environment is concerned, because we are concerned about the impact on the wetlands, the impact on the rivers, the impact on agriculture as well. So we are the supporting partner. But the funds that are used for this kind of work do not come from the land care conditional grant, but they come from the kitty of the Gauteng provincial government. So we do have indicators and targets, outputs with regard to addressing this issue, but of course being led by the National Department of Water Affairs and Minerals, there's quite a number of issues that we have raised that need to be addressed going forward. So yes, I think I've addressed the issue of checking the figures with Treasury. So Treasury is correct, 0% up to end of month, 19% up to end of month by the service provider, not by GDAT. So I think there is nothing to really correct with Treasury, as we have indicated. Indeed, honorable members, we did say that job creation for us is very vital, given the fact that this year is the year of job creation. Through EPWP, community work program, infrastructure development, etc. So we see the conditional grant also assisting us in addressing that particular priority of government nationally, but also priority of the Gauteng provincial government. So yes, we have the breakdown. As you all know, the national targets, which have been adopted as the provincial targets as well, is such that with women, we should we set aside 30% for women to benefit from the jobs that are created, 40% for young people to benefit from the jobs that are created, and 2% for the people with disability to benefit from the jobs that are created from EPWP. The actual performance with regard to that is that with women benefiting from EPWP, we have achieved about 65%. So more women are benefiting. If you look at the numbers, the scale is tilted towards women more, 65% against 30, and people with disability, we just met the target, we are at 2%, and we are struggling with young people, we are at 33%. You know, removal of alien vegetation is really about getting yourself dirty. So I don't think young people want to get dirty. I don't know, maybe that's not the correct reason. But we will try by all means to get more young people to really participate in this particular program. Do we have scope of work for funds, or are we battling to spend? I think we had tried to indicate what the scope of work is. in the main, say, you know, rehabilitation of the wetlands as well as the removal of alien vegetation. But I'm sure my colleagues will add on to that. Yes, we battled to stand during first quarter because of the problems I spoke about earlier on. But as at end of August, we are progressing very, very well. And that indicated a trend from 2008-09, effectively from the date when the conditional grants were introduced. The department has been spending, if I'm not mistaken, CFO, you'll correct me, 100% on an annual basis. This is the information that I have been getting through the reports of the sustainable, of the SRM unit in the department. How is this work related, working for water? How is it related to the funds that are made available for the same program by the Department of Environment and Water Affairs? I'd like the CAO to respond to this. I don't have readily available information on this one. But I know about also the junior land care programs that the department is implementing using the equitable share, etc. But I really would like the CFO to take care of this one. If she has the information, if she doesn't, we will provide the information after today. Money spent on rehabilitating wetlands. We need an estimate of the total number of hectares of land because we're spending a lot of money. Again, I really do not have information on the total number of hectares of land. All I have is what we have looked at today. For each and every project, they have indicated how many hectares of land have we worked on in terms of removal of alien vegetation. But it's a question that we will go back and find out about so that you are informed after today. I think there was a related question on money spent elsewhere. Surely you get invoices from the service provider and you indicate expenditure to Treasury. But I think I've taken care of this question because it's really about 0% versus 19%. And I think I've tried to explain that. The issues raised by Honorable Chair as well, I'm going to ask the CFO to respond to. The cost for fluctuation, the previous year, we spent more money, you know, for the same number of jobs that we are creating, as well as the same number of hectares where we remove alien vegetation. So I think I want to delegate to the CFO to respond to this, because it looks like going forward we are spending less but producing an equal amount of work in terms of job creation as well as the hectares of land. Okay, so I think I've tried to take care of the contradictions, and once more I do want to apologize because probably in the report we did not really clarify that when we report the, you know, the 19% and the 47%, what exactly are we talking about? But I think earlier on I've tried to clarify that. And if clarity is still not acceptable, the CEO will further clarify on that. And I've tried to say exactly what are the reasons for non-expenditure during quarter one. The jobs that are created 2010-2011 versus the jobs that are created 2011-12, Chair, these are different jobs. It's 50 men, women, and people with disability in 2010-11. 2011-12, it's different women, men, and people with disability. So it's new jobs each year. So it's not old jobs. So I hope that takes care of your question. I think the rest will be taken care of by the CFO. The arrangement with the service provider, they use their own money, they implement and they claim later, and the 47% transfers. What mechanism do we have to verify the actual work that is done? I think the CFO will take care of that. Thanks, Chair.
Just before the CFO,
this new job, is it new jobs in addition of existing ones, or that CPT they terminate to employ new ones and proceed?
So the information I have at my disposal is that it's new jobs. 2010-11, 50 jobs, for example, for Wonga Manzi. 2011-12, it's 50 jobs, and these are two sets of people, so it's new jobs, as far as the information I have is concerned, Chair. But we can also confirm that with you after today. But that's the information that I have, and the CFO is agreeing with me.
Maybe the CFO should clarify it further. Yes. I want to know if you say it's new jobs in addition to the 50, you're saying you have 100 this time around?
Yes, Chair.
Or you have 50, those ones at the end of whatever days, they don't come and then you get the new one. This ones at the end of a certain period, they will go, you get new ones like that.
Yes, Chair. It's 50 plus 50, which would be 100. So it's new ones at the beginning of the financial year. But as you say, correctly, Chair, the CFO will further clarify that. But that's the information I have. We want to apologize. The project manager, the SRM director, could not come because I think she's been called to account somewhere. Where is it? It's a disciplinary matter in the department. She's taking care of that. But the CFO will try and respond, Chair, in addition to my responses. Thank you.
CFO?
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. In response to the expenditure, just to explain further to what NEC had said, the department does transfers. If you had listened to Western Cape, for example, they don't do transfers at all. They would pay the service providers and invoices directly, whereas GDAT would transfer to implementing municipalities and institutions. So, it is correct, we concur with Treasury that indeed there was, from GDAT point of view, a 0% expenditure in quarter one.
I missed your point on the transfers. Maybe I concentrated too much on what you said about Western Cape. What is the situation with Gauteng?
I'm saying that whereas Western Cape doesn't do transfers at all, they pay the service providers directly, GDAT does transfers to implementing agencies. So they would in turn pay the service providers that they would appoint. We don't pay the service providers directly. Service providers in terms of the actual work done. So we would transfer to rent water, for example. We would transfer for the London Dialogue project and the Mahalis River project to the implementing agencies. So yes, we concur that there was indeed 0% expenditure from the point of GDAT, in that we didn't effect the transfers in the first quarter. So the 47% you would see as at end of or middle of August would be the transfer that we've done to rent water. And the 19% you see in the report would, exactly as NEC had explained, be the actual expenditure incurred by the implementing agency. So in terms of the reporting requirements, from the implementing institution, they would then report on a monthly basis in terms of the actual expenditure that they have incurred in terms of the project relating to the project plans. So GDAT would then transfer the money, as MEC has explained, on receipt of the signed service delivery agreement and then the agreed upon project plan. Proper reconciliations and monitoring of the work done, I think you've asked the question, Chair, in terms of what mechanisms are in place to verify the actual work done. So in terms of the requirements, there is a monthly and quarterly report, but other than that, or further than that rather, our project managers do actually monitor the work done in relation to the money spent on a regular basis, if not monthly. There is a project plan. There was a question on whether there's a scope of work. There is an agreed upon project plan for each one of the three projects. So the monitoring will then be against the project plans. Yes, I confirm that we do spend the land care grants 100% each year, although transfers do tend to take place a bit late in the financial year. MEC had already addressed that issue in terms of making sure that we do not transfer late and that planning should start earlier. And if that is successful, and it will be successful in terms of our planning, transfers then can take place in the first quarter of the financial year. MEC had asked to me to talk about the working for water and the question that there was around the involvement of environment, I think. My attempt to answer that question, MEC, would be that the transfer we make to rent water is the contribution that the department makes in terms of this, and that it, the entire Working for Water project would be a provincial project in conjunction with the local municipalities as well. So the 1.9 million that GDOT would transfer would be contribution towards that initiative. In terms of the wetland question, there was a question on how many hectares. It is 50 hectares, MEC. In answer to the question of how many hectares for the rehabilitation of wetlands, it's 50. The last question from the chair was that less money is now allocated for the same number of jobs. In attempting to answer that question, if you notice that in 2010-11, there was a 3.8 million spread across two projects, so the transfers there was 50-50. In 11-12, the 4 million, just over 4 million, had to be then spread across three projects. So obviously the project plans would then have to be adjusted so that we can still try and do or cover the amount of work that is required, and then adjust or spread the funds accordingly. Thank you.
Yes, no. You will come. Are you done, ma'am?
Chair, just to, I think there's a question that you asked which we omitted. I think we're talking about the contradiction. When we speak about challenges and remedial steps, it says there are no substantial challenges that have been experienced in the first quarter.
We can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. You said that there are contradictions with regard to what we say and what has happened. Challenges and remedial steps. And the report says there were no substantial challenges. I think it was with regard to the work. We should have substantiated that a bit to say that with regard to the work done, because the service providers do not wait for the funding from the department, but they continue, start working right at the beginning of the year, once they are actually working. So, however, there were challenges that I did allude to in terms of the rainy seasons and operational equipment, etc., etc., but there were no substantial challenges. The only challenges, indeed, we should have actually, when we're looking at this, we should have restated the challenges that I spoke about of you know, contract flow processes of the administration, etc. But I hope that in future we will be able to improve the way we report. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I really have a problem with the way Gauteng is doing things. I really do have serious problems. If monies will be transferred to a service provider merely on the conclusion of service level agreement, I really have a serious problem. And also then when they finish transferring the money, then they report to Treasury or whoever that the money has been spent. Serious, I've got a problem, MEC. Because if you transfer an amount of money to these agencies on the last day of your first quarter, then you report that you have spent the money when the money is still sitting in the account of a service provider. Surely there is a problem, and one would really say maybe Treasury should visit Gauteng and actually have serious discussions about this thing, because actually when we're trying to monitor the expenditure, but to us this expenditure is services rendered, services delivered. But we are monitoring those services delivered in terms of your expenditure. But then your expenditure does not talk to service delivery. It merely talks to money transferred to another body who will actually render the service. And at the time of transferring the funds, the services has not been rendered. But we are interpreting that amount that you transfer as money paid for services rendered. So there is a serious disjunction. And probably that's the main reason why MEC is saying that you spend all the budget 100%. Every year you spend 100%. Because, I mean, you just need to transfer the money, it goes, all of it. Zap. Then your CFO reports that you have spent all the money. But you'll be surprised, and I'm sure, that if you go to the service providers now, as I'm speaking, you'll find that some of the money that you have reported as 47% spent, it is still sitting in the account. It's not yet paid to actual work that has been done on the ground. You'll be surprised. Because this is the same thing that I think we've come across from Western Cape in terms of libraries. They are doing the same thing with municipalities. Even yourself and Gauteng, you just transfer the money to local municipalities, then report as spent, when the money has not actually gone down to service delivery. That's why I think the last question from the chair was, how do you monitor and verify that the actual work has been done and the amount that you are reporting is correct, if it talks to work that has been done? No. What I'm hearing from the CFO says transfer the money the minute they conclude the service level agreement. That can't be. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I really do sympathize with provinces when it comes to this classification of jobs, but I'm now confused as well. If one looks at the project list, let's take Bamba Manzi. 2010-11, 50 jobs created. But Bamba Manzi isn't on the list for 2011 and 12. So I have to assume that those 50 jobs no longer exist. Otherwise, the project must still be going, and therefore it would be on the project list for 2011 and 12. So I just need some clarity. And then if one says 50 jobs for Bamba Manzi in 2010-11, does that mean that 50 people, the same people, worked from the 1st of January or the 1st of April, when's the year start? 1st of April to the 31st of March, where they're employed for the full 365 days. It becomes, I really do sympathize with you. I don't think there is, that I'm aware of, a definition of how one actually does this. And it creates wrong impressions, because the impression being created now is that those 50 jobs were created and they'll go on now for 100 years or for a period of time. But in fact, I think they were for a period of time and they no longer exist. And so if you could just clarify that for me, what do you mean when you say 50 jobs created? Was it for 3 months, for a full year? Do they still exist today? Are the same people employed, or do you rotate and get new people in every month or every 3 months? How does it work?
Thank you, honourable members. CFO, I just want to take you back to your report again. Let's go to page 7 of your report. Project list 2010-11. I'm just clarifying my earlier question so that you answer it in context. Bamban, the alien plant removal project, Mohali City, right? Let's take Wonga Manzi.
written to you, 2010-11, right? You budgeted 1.907500, right? And that is exactly what you spent. You had spent for that. And then you created 50 jobs covering 500 hectares. Now, I'm now taking you now back to, then you go to page 11. Or we can go to page 8, the following page. You still have got, for now, this year now, you still have got same Ongamanzi project at Region G, 50 jobs created, and in terms of the explanation of the MEC, now we are talking 100 now, because it's this 50 plus the previous year's 50, which is still continuing the project, it's 100, but you budgeting 1.9 million. I'm hoping that's what you are going to pay at the end of the year. Now, my question is, how is that possible? Because if the number of employees has increased, then it follows that the amount of money that you are going to spend will be more. But even if, let's say, the assumption of Honorable Liz is the correct assumption that these employees rotate, the 50 that was there the previous time, they are not here this time. There are a number of things that influence the increase in everything. This time around, you'd be spending less. What would be that will, although it's about 7,500, but what is it that will make you to spend less that amount instead of maybe the same amount or slightly more? So I'm trying to paint two scenarios here, and for you to, and the reason why I'm saying in 2010-11 you had spent the exact amount as budgeted, it's actually confirmed in page 12 of the report, you see. Because if you check that slide, it says expenditure as at the 31st March 2011, that was at the end of the financial year, you had spent 3.8 million, which is exactly 190755 times 2, as per the two projects that you are running that particular year. So I'm sure now my question is clear, you'll be able to answer it and link it with the assumption made. But at the same time, Honorable Kosa, I think then you would also agree that it's kind of misleading then to have this page 7 here. No, not page 7. To have page 11, because page 11 is, I'm sure it was for your own internal arrangements, because you are saying it's not, it's what the service providers reported to you as what they are doing, but you have done nothing for the first quarter, hence the confirmation of the 0%. Even the transfers were not done, but you did the transfers way after the end of the first quarter. So if we are sitting here monitoring what you are doing, it will only be proper that we get the reports, your reports, not the reports of the service providers. Perhaps they are good for you, but at the same time, I want to raise the same concern as Honorable Masile, and maybe it's something that Treasury should note and take it up, and maybe even ourselves, Honorable DPA, in the budget councils and in some of the, in the Division of Revenue, if it does find expression there, find a way of identifying whatever clause that talks about this whole thing of, because I know for a fact that in terms of Treasury, a transfer in your books is seen as an expenditure. But for us, as people who play oversight, we are not interested, because Gauteng, all the departments that appear here, they are doing well. They spend 100%. All the departments.
That's why Gauteng, year in, year out, their departments get an increase in terms of these conditional grants, because they would have shown the need for an increase, whereas other provinces are still struggling getting lower interest. I don't think it's a fair play if we are to compare other provinces. Because what Gauteng only does is to transfer to implementing agents, and on their books they have spent. That's all. You are home and try. But we are not interested in that. We want to go beyond just the transfer. We want to go down to the project itself. Correctly so. You might find that at the end of the year, you are sitting with 100% expenditure. But if you follow that money in the accounts of the service providers, it's still sitting there. It's not yet completely expended, you see. So, but this is not what is only happening in this department. It is happening in almost all the departments in Gauteng that have so far appeared here. And something that is really worrying us, and I think we'll have to seriously, honorable members, take it up with the powers that be, national treasury in this instance. Because if, I would imagine, if all provinces are to follow that particular procedure, then there will be no need for us to make all this what we are doing. You just have to get reports, you know, it's 100%, 100%, it's clap hand, they have spent. But follow it down there, you find a different story. We have seen in other provinces, I made an example yesterday where we got a report in terms of the project. We have spent so many millions building a bridge where between Mbase and whatever vendor. And then when the members arrive there with the officials of the department, there's no bridge. But the money's been spent, is there in the report, everybody clapped hands, now we are delivering. But on the ground, there's no delivery, you see. It's all these things of just transferring money. Rather do it yourself. Like Western Cape, I really want to say what Western Cape is doing of paying the actual people who are working in the project, not service providers. If you say 50 people, we want to see those 50 people coming here at the end of the month, we pay them direct and check the work that they have done. No middlemen. In that way, you will be almost certain yourself as a political head when you give reports that here, this report, I can be able to vouch for it. We are paying the actual people who are doing the job, not the middlemen. Because these middlemen, these brokers, that 3,000 that you would expect is paid if you are to divide this money with that number of people for 365. You might find that they are not even getting that amount. They are getting far less because the middlemen get something else. So the project at the end of the day will be benefiting the brokers. Something that we don't encourage at all. But this last part is just comments and concerns in support. You may respond to the question. Thank you very much.
I will be the last to speak to. I will allow the CFO to do that.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have the 10-11 detailed project plan with me. It would have assisted or rather substantiate my point that I want to make. In terms of the cost breakdown for the 1.9 million compared to 1.907 for last year, the salary portion, the cost breakdown consists of a salary portion and then operating costs. So I said earlier in my response that on allocating for this year and trying to explain why it's less, you would then adjust so that you can spend across the three projects. So in looking at the cost breakdown structure specifically for the 1.9 project, we then had to adjust on the operating cost, the variable part of the total cost, to curb that within the 1.9 million. So we didn't sacrifice we didn't sacrifice on the salary or the employment cost portion. Hence, we still can employ the 50 people, but on the operational part where we pay for travel, for example, equipment, training costs, or buying materials, there you can play around with a figure so that you can still remain within the 1.9 million. And that would be the explanation for how come it's possible to employ the same amount of people with less money. I trust that satisfy, Chair.
I don't agree with you. Let's take an example. If let's take that 1.9 divided by 50 and by 12, it will roughly give you, and assuming that each individual works 365 days, it will roughly give you 3,166 or something like that. I'm just making quick calculations here. Now, it will then tell you that one person per month for salary and your operation cost in your budget, you budget 3,000 for one person. You might find out salary is something else if you are to take out those operating costs, right? Now, I'm saying if that number doubles, then it means per month for one person, salary including operation cost, you'll be talking something like 1,600. Then, if you don't touch on the salary, it means you are making substantial adjustments on the operations. And if you are to talk in those operations, you're talking buying of equipment, etc., etc., you are likely to find that the equipment, the price of equipment is also higher this period than the previous year. I don't see it going down, the price of equipment, you see. So it still, even that argument that you are presenting, I would not agree with it, based on this submission that I'm making now, unless you convince me otherwise. But proceed.
I would be happy to compare it with last year, exactly on the cost breakdown, but it's not double the amount of workers. It is indeed 50 new jobs and not 100 jobs.
No.
And the salary cost is about 1.1 million?
That is the same contradiction, that because you are saying it's 50 new jobs, but you don't want to say they are rotating. Because that is something to us as members was actually bailing you out to close this matter. But if you continue to say it's 50, the 50 that were there at the end of March, they still continue, it means your cost, if you bring another 50, don't go up. There's no way that the cost will go down. Unless you begin to temper with what you are giving to squeeze everybody in that 1,900, then you'll be affecting the operations plus the salaries. You understand what I say? So it can't be correct. And we don't want to force you to accept the assumptions that you are making. We want you to give us the exact state of affairs in Gauteng so that we have a clear picture and capture what is correct in our report.
If the Chair would allow, then I would make available then the comparison of last year cost breakdown with this year and submit it to the House.
Okay. You done? MEC?
Thank you very much again. I did say that I think because of the absence of the actual project manager, we may not be able to give you the exact state of affairs with regard to the questions that you have asked before. We've tried to say that from the information that we have with regard to jobs, it's actually 50 jobs 2010-11 plus new 50 jobs 2011-12, but we said we will bring a report to you, Honorable Chair, in the committee that demonstrates the exact state of affairs, because we are not in a position now to be sure about the exact number of jobs, the state of affairs in terms of the jobs. So we would prefer, Chair, to rather go back and get the exact report on this issue and report to you exactly what the situation is with regard to jobs. But what we know is that it's new jobs every year, contracts are signed between the department and, in fact, between the service provider and the workers themselves, so that on an annual basis there is a contract so that our workers will then benefit in that way. Just going back to the first question, Chair, on the fact that honourable members have a problem with the way we are doing things, I think we would welcome the visitation by Treasury or even by committee, so you can see for yourself the work that is happening. I myself, you know, I do my own oversight apart from the portfolio committee. But I cannot say that I've been to all the projects 100%. I could probably say that I've been to about 40% or so of the projects. One MEC, it's very difficult to cover all the projects in the whole of Gauteng, but it is my wish that indeed I should be able to visit all the projects to make sure that what we spend is what we see on the ground. But also, Chair, we have the portfolio committee that visits these projects on a regular basis. And indeed, they come back to us to say, yes, there is work on the ground, but these are the challenges. Sustainability is questionable, et cetera, et cetera. So they do their oversight as well. But I'm saying, Chair, that we are happy to get a visit from Treasury just to verify this. And if indeed the way we do things is really not satisfying the committee, I think we are willing to really look at better approaches. Chair, we are correct that if you involve a middleman, by the time the beneficiaries benefit, indeed there's little that goes to the actual people that work, and then the actual project on the ground, money goes to the middleman. So you really are not in favor of that situation. We are willing, we are open to change the approach that we are basically using. But what I'm also trying to say is that work gets done, and then we pay for the work that is basically done. So I thought I should just add on that, Chair. So there is monitoring and evaluation. Reports are also received. I do my own oversight. The policy does its own oversight. And going forward, we hope to strengthen that monitoring and evaluation of the work that is done. But I think we'll also just do an exercise on what we are talking about. We spend 100%, you know, is indeed on the ground 100% of performance. But from where I'm sitting right now, there is work that is basically happening as far as these projects are concerned. Okay, thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, ma'am. As long as we are on the same page, but with regard to the issue of the transfers that are regarded as actual expenditure, that one, it doesn't really need us to go to Gauteng to verify the existence of the project, but it's something that we are going to take up now with National Treasury through their representatives here as well as through our engagement directly with the minister, so that there's a common approach across the country in terms of how departments expend on their monies. Otherwise, it's not a fair play. If I'm a referee in this whole thing, it's never a fair play, that one. Honorable Dibiri wanted to make some... Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Gauteng. Which province is here again? Limpopo is the MEC. Ma'am? You are the MEC? Oh, thank you very much. I only talk to MECs today. Is Northwest here? They're not here. Thank you very much. So it's only Limpopo, and then after Limpopo, we are done. Honourable members, let's adjourn just for 15 minutes to have tea, and then we come and take Limpopo. Mama? After tea, we'll take Limpopo and we proceed. We'll be finished by 12 o'clock, MEC, don't worry.
I was interested in time. Honourable members, we are back on session. We will take the last province in Limpopo. Let me see. You may kick.
Thank you very much, the chairperson and all honourable members. Before we take you through our presentation, we just wanted to bring to the attention of the honourable members that our province, Limpopo, is at risk as far as the land care issues are concerned, in the sense that the most affected areas where the agricultural production has been taking place in the past is now being threatened by the degradation and the soil erosion and other issues which are related to land care. Reason being historical, that our province, the homeland system as we all know, and also the levels of poverty, where even if we embark on awareness programs, we still have challenges that in most cases the source of energy in our rural areas is the firewood. So these are some of the challenges.
Sorry for interjecting, MEC. Honourable members, I would request that you rely on the slides because someone, for some reason, they left the hard copies at some of the offices. So while they are getting to collect those, I'll request that you concentrate on the slides. Thank you. You may proceed, ma'am. Sorry for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention and also to invite honourable members for a tour. Those who don't know our province, Limpopo, they will realize the seriousness of the situation. I would hand over to the HOD to make the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
I am the acting head of the department. Indeed, as the MEC said, our risk is due to the climate change effects, the problems of poor practices in grazing land particularly, but of course they need also for the use and competition for the wood-based products. Such as energy, construction, medicinal plants. In terms of the land care conditional grant, our emphasis is on sound resource conservation measures in the affected areas. We are also promoting the land care ethic. We want to emphasize the ownership on the management of the natural resources by the communities. And that's our bigger emphasis. And of course, we provide capacity building and training for the communities in natural resource management. And encourage through institutional capacity building that the communities themselves organize themselves, manage the resources that are provided towards conservation. In the 2010-2011, we have those projects, and largely we are looking at improving felt management practices. And therefore, our activities largely in this project would be around the fencing of the grazing land and the areas that are at risk, the control of alien invasive plants, and we control also the bush encroachment. And this is a problem in the grazing areas. Where you have, in some areas, bush encroachment, you have poisonous plants, and the communities are working to control that. We do the awareness creation also, as you would see, and training and facilitation. Those are largely what we do in those the various projects. In terms of the quarter four, the disbursement schedules were basically before quarter four, let me say. It's 10% in the first quarter, 35% in quarter two, 35% in quarter three, and 20% in quarter four. That's how the allocations from transferring department come through to us. And we were allocated 8.176 million in that year. And we have of that spent 1.6 million in quarter four, but on the overall, we have spent the total allocated on the land care for that financial year. In terms of what have we achieved with the funds that were allocated, and perhaps, Chair, I would rather want to talk to these areas where there are negative variances. There are basically two areas we did not achieve the plan targets, and this first indicator on the number of farmland hectares improved through conservation measures. The quarterly target was 10,000, we did 558, and we fell short of almost 9,000 hectares. And the problem here has been where we were let down by the suppliers, and we have taken appropriate measures in terms of supply chain where the deliveries were not done. But what we subsequently did when this failed, we have reprioritized this because of the need that existed, and it may not show completely here, but if you look at when you receive the report, I've also provided the same table for the annual, on the annual report. We had already assigned some of the funds to the alien invader plants because of the need. The number of beneficiaries also adopting sustainable production technologies. In this particular case, our underachievement was largely because we started late. We had our own internal delays in terms of the procurement approval. That is as far as 2010-2011 is concerned, Chair. In 2011-12, these are the projects that have been identified. We normally go through a process of identifying projects, develop business plans, take them through the provincial assessment panel, and once the assessment panel has recommended them, we will then submit those business plans with our recommendation to the National Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery, who will then also subject them to their own assessment processes and have them finally approved for funding. And these are the projects that were approved for the conditional grant in this current financial year. And as you can see, some of the projects, the majority of projects, are continuing projects, they're multi-year. And the reason we do that, it's because the main thrust of the land care is to create adequate awareness, promote ownership, and therefore we don't want to rush the communities, give them money, do the fence all at once, get out. We want them to, we take them through the training, do the awareness, and let them practice that, and therefore we'll give them a portion of the required resources over a period sometimes of 3 years, until that particular major activity is done. And so these are the projects, and you would see largely they are 90% the same project we had the previous financial year. In terms of the allocation, it will still be 10%, 35% in the quarter two, 35% in quarter three, and 20% in quarter four. That's how the funds would flow from the transferring department. And this is the plan that we have put for ourselves, how we're going to spend. Now, generally in April, the processes are very slow. So over years, we've realized that there's no use saying we'll spend a certain amount of money because during that time, either the system is not necessarily readily available or orders can't be issued. So we do more the preparatory work and issuing orders at that time, starting the work, but largely the payments start in May. And that's how we had planned to spend throughout the year. This is some of the work. I just included some of the slides on the work that is going on, the fencing, the gabions to control the possible gullies. But where we are at the moment, the previous year, in quarter one, we had spent 414,000. This financial year, the quarter one, we've spent 640. We still have fell short in terms of our plan. We would have spent 1.082 million. We have only spent 640,000. Of course, we have improved if we compare with the previous year. Previous year, in quarter one, we have spent 5%, we have done 7%, and this is 7% versus the 10% that has been transferred in this quarter. What contributed to this? Largely, there are two major materials we use in the land care, particularly in quarter one and quarter two. It is the chemicals that we use for the control of invader plants, It is a fancy material that we use in both cases. Now, we have not, in the previous year, we were able to buy this material centrally. We have now centralized even to the project level, but when you do that, we still have to assist them to be able to manage this. In the fencing, we have decentralized. Now we've finally gone back to centralizing because we have found you have small suppliers. They fail. You end up, despite the fact that we may penalize them, but we suffer also. So we have gone back to centralizing the fencing contract, and that contract has been finalized. We have a term contract for the coming 2 years to supply fencing material. In terms of our capacity to monitor, the LandCare program is under the Chief Directorate Sustainable Resource Management. There is a director who is responsible specifically for natural resource management. There is a provincial LandCare coordinator, but in the district also we have a manager who is responsible both for engineering and natural resource management. And those are the capacities that we have in terms of human resources. But we also have a provincial assessment panel. At the moment, there's 2-3 days, the assessment panel is seeking to select the projects for the coming financial year. But we also have monthly reporting meetings with the land care coordinators from specific districts. Because there's some of the work that we're doing in erosion control, building the gabions, that's some of the work that we're doing. In terms of the required reporting that we require to do, we receive reports monthly from the districts with the coordinators. We submitted all of our required reports to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, signed by the project coordinator, the CFO, the HOD, and the MEC. And we have also we also submit our quarterly performance reports to the Department of Agriculture. And basically, that's as far as the conditional grant is concerned. Chair, I have to just add that this is just the one part. We also funding natural resource management activities from the equitable share. That's the one part. We are also working in partnership with the Department of Economic Development, Environment and Tourism, because there are some activities that we collaborate on. For instance, some of our awareness activities when it comes to the Wetlands Day, the Arbor Day, the desertification, we do a collaborative work between ourselves and the forestry component and the environment. We have also now looked into partnerships with the mines around and other partners. So I have just reported only on the component of the conditional grant, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Honourable members, questions for last year. Honourable Zulu, Honourable Liz, Honourable Mashila, Honourable Mokubela, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Acting HOD. I want to check how many women involved in this project and youth in this project is running in your province.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to Limpopo for their presentation. I don't know where it was in the slide, but there was one project which was 10,000 hectares of conservation measures. Now, 10,000 hectares is a huge, it's fairly close to the beginning, I think. There it is there. Quarterly target. I come from an agricultural background, and it just boggles my mind to know what exactly you're going to do on 10,000 hectares in 3 months, which is a conservation measure. So, you know, you didn't achieve it. The 558 is what you achieved. So if you could explain what exactly you're doing and what the costs are, there's no, what your budget allocation to that is, because it sounds like something other provinces should be looking at if you can really take conservation measures over 70,000 hectares in a budget of just under 9 million per annum is something phenomenal. And then when you refer to failed suppliers, does that mean suppliers who simply didn't have the capacity and shouldn't have got the contract in the first place, or are these suppliers who've gone disappeared over the horizon with your money? What kind of failure are we talking about here? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I think on the very slide, because I'm just also interested to get the report that talks to me as well. I think the numbers need to be looked a little bit carefully, because if you have an annual target of 70,000, then your quarterly target, I think you just need to divide that by 4, I think. Your quarterly target, you just divide 70 by 4, and I'm not sure if all it is. But that is what I thought. When I look at these numbers on your annual targets and the quarterly targets, I'm not understanding. But then, Chair, what one needs to check is the underspending on the first quarter. What are the corrective actions that you are doing to ensure that you have delivered the services that you plan to deliver for the whole year? If you don't have any plans that you have made, are you then saying that you are projecting underspending at the end of the financial year? And of course, it's the question that has already been asked by Honorable Mtuana is to further talk to youth and people with disabilities that are actually involved on the project, and also the kind of training, that needs to be provided for people that are working on the land almost every year. There is somewhere where there was a reason that is given on late procurement as a challenge. Chair, one would actually ask the department to really look at these things carefully, just like Gauteng has indicated. We know right up front that the grant is not discontinued. And again, you know it is on a three-year budgeting that you are going to receive the funds. Therefore, the processes of procurement needs then to be done in time for the coming financial year, so that we don't have this reason again every year, because it's not a sensible reason. You know, unless you talk about non-delivery of things that you have procured, but not just the procurement services of that you have done late, when you know 2 years before that you are going to receive this kind of funds, therefore you need to plan for them. And yeah, I think those are the things that, or maybe also, Chair, to talk to what is being referred here as failed suppliers to render services. Maybe we should request a serious explanation from the department, because the suppliers can only fail because you have not selected correct suppliers. There's something wrong with the procurement system. Because if you are procuring services from people, then there are checks and balances of people that you can rely on and appoint to be able to supply the services. Then for you to appoint suppliers, but the suppliers failed to do the work, that means there is something wrong with your procurement system. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was happy to hear the MEC saying that they would like the committee to visit that place in order to see the poverty that place is so poor. Can we go to the slide, your page 4? I want to ask questions. Page 4. You see those names of the project? Do you see them? Okay. Go to page 8. There. You see those names? Some are repeating on the same places. My question is, what criteria did you use? Because I can see there is no Malamulele or Giani there. Is that place have no what requirements or criteria did you use in order to can establish a project on that particular area if that places are not appearing on the first financial year and the second financial year? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the provincial, the province for the presentation. I've got a document in my hand, memorandum. When I go to, going to page 8 of this memorandum document, just before spending plans, because this is a performance plan for the first quarter, 2011-2012. Number of land care projects implemented, number of projects under implementation 0000. But I can't find it in this presentation that's on the screen. Other this one talks to this one. I've got two documents in front of me. It's a bit confusing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Limpopo.
Chair, thank you, Honourable Chair. Perhaps I should start with the last question. I have in your notes included the annual, the table also on the annual performance. What I displayed, I only displayed the quarterly, but in your notes, you have both the quarterly and the annual performance of the land care. Do we include the women and youth? Yes, women largely, more than the youth. And if you look at the activities there, the fencing, the control of alien invader plants, people have to wear the protective clothing, go into the land to go and cut all this. It's largely and admittedly, youth is not necessarily as eager in terms of these activities. But yes, we involve them in the junior land care program. One would have loved them to go beyond just the junior land care programs. But yes, we have a junior land care programs and youth are involved to that extent. Would have loved them to get involved even in the fencing, because this would make them even more conscious when they will become livestock farmers. What are we doing in terms of the 70,000 or the 10,000 hectares? What we're doing, the emphasis is, and the great degraded areas are largely grazing areas. And when we fence those areas that are at risk, that would be one area we would protect them. when we put in the gabion structures, and we would do estimations using the coordinates. If we put up a gabion here, what area would that gabion influence? And we base our hectorage on that. The problems with the suppliers. These are the suppliers who are supplying material. I've indicated that largely our suppliers are supplying fancy material. They are supplying the chemicals that we require in the alien invader plants. We are using suppliers for training, but the majority and our problems here have largely been both in quarter one and in the quarter four. Have been in quarter one, it's largely been the chemicals. The supplier who are going to supply us has failed in that area. And what we have subsequently done is perhaps we should allow each project and help each project to secure its own material. We used to procure that material for them centrally. We have taken the appropriate measures, but I'm sure the honorable members would appreciate some of the challenges we have. If you sit in Limpopo, the supply of chemicals, the chemicals largely will be coming from Gauteng. And we are procuring ordinarily from people who are on our databases, who would still want to go and procure from somebody else. Now, you have to manage a number of things. We could leave them all together, buy from the main suppliers in Gauteng, and disadvantage the suppliers. But whilst you're doing that, because we are, I would say we're part of the developmental state, whilst you're doing that, you have these challenges where you have to continually take your small suppliers on board, develop them. At the same time, we apply the measures that are required. In terms of the quarterly targets, how do we determine them? We look at a number of things. No, we don't just divide by four. We also look where the weather would impact. For instance, in a situation where we must plant the trees, we would plan to do them in quarter three and quarter four, and perhaps quarter one when there will be the rainfall. We would also look at how the supplies of material would flow. It is those issues that we would use in terms of determining what deliverable is done in which quarter. The underspending in quarter one, do we anticipate to underspend? No, we are putting up measures to catch up in this particular respect, and we don't foresee an underspending overall. The kind of training, we largely do the training in those areas, particularly in all of these projects. For instance, there are projects where people are doing the fencing. We have, in some instances, taken our people through a fence-making training. The use of chemicals, we need to take them through on how to handle chemicals, because these are generally dangerous chemicals. But we provide largely the training that is appropriate to the projects that we are implementing. And we are using our two agricultural training centers to provide the training support in that respect. The selection of the supplier, of course, we follow, we are required to look at the people first who are on our databases. Otherwise, unless if it's a contract that we have to advertise, but we would use people who are on our database, and in some cases, those are the limitations that we may have. We keep on refining the database so that we find appropriate suppliers. And as I said, the chemicals particularly has been a problem area in this respect. But we do find that even where the tenders have been advertised, and it's not only in Lemke, even in other projects, the delays has been once the preferred tenderer is supposed to submit the required documentation. We found there are delays here and there, either submitting the guarantees that are required, or once we're done, finding the necessary resources to start, because we have to pay on the basis of an invoice. And I admit, yes, we need to work to improve our procurement processes so that we are not delayed. In terms of the list of projects, true, there are, you were right, 90% of the projects that we have in this financial year are coming from the previous financial year. And I have indicated, honorable members, we are running our project on a multi-year basis. We would want to avoid a situation almost that looks like a hit and run. Do this all at once and then go. Because we are inculcating a culture of people to appreciate the natural resources, learn to manage them, and if we're going to change the culture, it will take time. And that's why we could have put money in just one project, do it that year, finish, and then we leave them. But we rather prefer to do it piecemeal, because the emphasis is not in constructing fence, the emphasis is not in removing the invader plants, but the emphasis is in developing the human capacity to appreciate their resources, learn how to solve those solutions, because we are working towards sustainable resource management over time. Chair, I hope, Honorable Chair, I hope I've covered most of the questions, if not all of the questions asked.
In your case, you work directly with the...
Yes, we are working directly with the supply. If it's a supply of material, it will supply, we pay on the basis of invoice. The construction, we work directly with the local communities. They do the construction of the fence, and we pay them per person. The alien invader plants also, we work with the community members, and we will pay them directly.
Honourable members, my senior honourable, and I will leave.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I appreciate the technical or tactical way of trying to explain the quarterly target, but it still doesn't make sense to me, Chair. I just need to indicate that if anybody talks about a quarterly target, everybody knows what's the definition of a quarterly target. It cannot be anything else. But the manipulations that have been done, that are being explained, if the heading was fourth quarter target or first quarter target, one would understand it. But when you just talk about a quarterly target, it is an average over the four quarters. That's it. Nothing else. Then the other issue, Chair, is the question relating to supply chain and emerging markets or whatever. One would really ask Limpopo to really know what they want to achieve. You have got targets to achieve yourself. And then if you appoint emerging supplier or service provider, that means you as a department, you have got an extra job of managing them. Because you can't expect performance of an expert service provider from a person who is not an expert. You can't. You appoint a less qualified service provider, then that means you must make now an extra effort, because you should not be disturbed from attaining your own objectives because you have got less qualified or experienced service providers. That should not happen. Because you see, HOD, one will still repeat and or reiterate that any non-expenditure, it is a suspension of service delivery to our people. Any excuse that relates to people, service providers that are bankrupt, that could not do X, Y, Z, and whatever, it doesn't assist in the service delivery. You can talk the whole day with all those sort of excuses, but they still don't change the situation on the ground. You have not delivered. So therefore, what is important is that for MEC Letsatsi Dube to be able to go to Makuti Thamaga and say we have delivered, is that things must happen. Not the excuses of service providers, whatever, because she can't go down there and say, we are not able to do this because a service provider from Gauteng did not deliver chemicals. She can't go there and do that. She can only go there and talk about service delivery. Therefore, if you appoint people that are not capable, that means the department then must give extra effort to ensure that things happen. I think that is the message that I can communicate to you. Thank you.
Honourable Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think that we probably thrashed to death through Honourable Mashida the question of service providers, but my point then is simply, how do service providers get onto the database that you appear to have to use if they aren't capable of providing the service? That I don't understand. But I do take the point that Honourable Mashida makes, that it's possible if additional management is put into things and makes it happen. Now, Mr. Chairman, I really can't get my mind around this slide, which doesn't have a number here. I think it's 7. The performance indicators don't all tie up with the projects. Many of the projects are fencing projects. Now, I don't see any performance indicator here that relates to fencing. Nor do I see a project which relates to conservation measures of 70,000 hectares. I don't understand how you can put out a list of performance indicators which don't appear to have a direct link to the projects themselves. So if one's talking about a fencing project, then one would presumably say we're going to do 5 hectares of fencing, and you would measure your performance on whether you've achieved 5 hectares of fencing, not on how many hectares have been fenced. Because some camps will be bigger than others and some will be smaller. So you're actually making a rod for your own back, in a sense, by trying to do it that way. And same with soil conservation. You know, I don't know number of beneficiaries adopting sustainable production technologies. Well, I don't see a single project which is geared to making an impact on beneficiaries and ensuring they adopt sustainable production technologies and practices. I see fencing. I see control of alien prawns. I see soil conservation. I see awareness creation, a small amount of 300,000 in one area. And another one in Seleka, 300,000. I don't understand these performance indicators, how they really link to what your project you're doing, whether they're measuring the project performance, and how you then can monitor whether you're achieving or not achieving. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, thank you. Firstly, let me make an admission and apologise on the question around the quarterly targets. Perhaps that was my error in terms of the heading. It was definitely intended for first quarter as per slide, fourth quarter as per slide. Perhaps in just the way I've written the heading, that is my error. I want to make an admission, but that is clearly the figure for quarter four as per that slide, quarter one as per slide, because if you divide 70 by 4 quarters, it would have given you around 18,000, and you can see in quarter four we had only indicated quarter rather 10,000, and I want to admit perhaps that's my mistake in terms of the way I have presented the heading. The the selection or the database, I have the CFO with me, he'll perhaps, I would rather ask him to talk to that. But in terms of the linkage of the indicators, there are indicators that are determined nationally. The performance indicators are determined nationally, and I'm sure Treasury would attest to that. There are also, in addition to the national indicators, there are province-specific indicators. But alongside that, and that's what we require to align our indicators and report on those both provincially and nationally. But we also identify the projects. Now, yes, I perhaps admit that it may seem not very clear, but the fencing projects that we do under land care are purely intended for conservation. The fencing we do under CASP for protecting the crops, but in CASP, all the projects that are on fencing are intended purely for conservation, for protecting the areas that are at risk. So the invader plants, there are projects on invader plants. There is, of course, incidentally, the national indicator on invasive alien plants. We have that. I can only acknowledge perhaps these two things may not seem to be talking to each other. Maybe we would need to do just an explanation to show that this project would contribute to that indicator, this project contributes to that indicator. Mr. Masaka, would you want to talk to the issue of the database?
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the supply management, in the department, I think we have acknowledged, I think late last year, that there have been a number of suppliers that have been registered in our database, which were not necessarily capable of doing what they've registered for. The reason being that at the time they were registered, I think in 2009 and 10, we didn't have capacity to go and verify the information that was provided on paper to say, if this service provider say I can do cleaning material, I can supply fencing material, that the service provider actually as a business dealing with that particular commodity. Then we had to improve on that, and then we opened up again the database. We have cleared even the category. We invited the new service providers in December last year for implementation in 1/4/2011-12. And we have now registered the new service providers that were implementing in 11-12. And in 11-12, again, we've got a plan to say every quarter we're going to be evaluating what we have in the database in terms of the individual performance. The service providers that are there in the database for each category to check whether they're actually delivering. Now, like I said, we had a challenge in terms of the capacity. We wanted to improve that capacity in terms of numbers within the supply chain environment in a unit that deals with the supply database, which we have actually deal with that in terms of improving our organization structure, in terms of getting people on board, which means that when we're going to be analyzing the service provider's capability before we register them in the database, we'll in the end have to go and verify them at the site, at the business side, that the commodity that they said they're going to be dealing with, are they actually delivering on that particular service, or are they having that service, that particular commodity as part of their activity as an ongoing business. By that way, we think we'll be improving in terms of the items that this provider was having. The other thing which we had was, as we were trying to empower the emerging supplier, we were allowing the service provider to register in a number of commodities on a database. And I think we've realized now that this was a mistake, because we would find a service provider that would say they can deliver about 11 commodity items that are not linked to one another. One would say we'll deliver on chemical, we can deliver on stationery, we can do on catering, we can do on construction. But when you are going to check in practice, you find that this provider is not specializing in any of those things. It's only few of them that they can deliver on. Now we're going to limit them on the database in terms of the number of the items that they can register on the database to improve on their turnaround time. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I was trying to assimilate the answer given by the presenter concerning the project in Guyana. If those names were prioritized at these two financial years, when are those places going to be prioritized to Montreal project so that we have it on record? Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I think it is very important that all the people of Limpopo should feel to be part of the project. We are not, one is not actually really dictating to Limpopo how they must implement this particular program. But what one would definitely expect is that we should not implement the program in a manner that at one stage people will go up, rise up and complain that they are not seeing this particular program in their area. Because the kind of project that one is seeing here, really on the other side, going to Bopalaburu and Hele, and it's not easy really to see this particular project. And it's a very, very, very hot places where grass disappears like nothing. And again, when there are rains, also sometimes you've got heavy rains, which this particular program also has to find expression in those areas. Probably maybe there may be strategic reasons why they having many of these projects right up on the other side. Chair, thanks.
Limpopo, I would request that we pick up the pace. I'm being advised that you should be flying at 2 to be able to connect in Johannesburg. So, yeah.
Chair, thank you. Honorable Chair, we have taken note of the concerns. Perhaps if you look at the list that you have for 10-11, the first two projects are Maruli and Bulubedu are in the Mopani district. Now we allow the district to present plans and we select in terms of the need and the base of the business plan. So the first two projects are actually in the Mopani district. They may not necessarily be in Giani. There are other projects, if you remember, the Moyesha project, which deals with the food security. It does have an element, although it's not funded by the land care. But I take note, and we take note of the concerns and the advice that we receive from the members here, and we want to appreciate that. Thank you.
MSC?
Chair, I just wanted to comment on the failed suppliers. This is a challenge to the country in general, and we really appreciate and acknowledge that this compromises service delivery. But now the issue will be how do we make sure we capacitate the emerging, the small, the SMSE, the small business people who want to also play a role in economic activities of the provinces. That is a challenge. And if after realizing they are not able to perform up to the expectations, we must have a way of assisting them, because to remove them out of the system completely, it doesn't help the situation as well. Now, on the late procurement, we have a system as a province where we say before the end of each financial year, all the departments present their plans, whether it is for infrastructure or for other projects, 3 months in advance, so as to enable the processes of procurement to happen. So this has not been the case in the past, but we'll start implementing that as from this current financial year. Criteria for the allocation of projects As we indicated earlier on, we are informed by the needs of a specific district, and we also verify ourselves to check where are the critical areas where we need to intervene. The areas of Malamulele, if they are not appearing on the project for 2011-2012, is because we are not saying those areas are not so critical, but they vary in degrees, and we will want to do all the districts at the same time, but due to the resources, we cannot able to do that. And we like to bring to the attention of this house that in most cases, when we receive this grant, we augment them because of the needs in the province. They are much more bigger than what we receive. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, MEC. Just one comment from me. I think in terms of the service providers that we are concerned about, we agree with you. There are those entrepreneurs that need to be given chance to be able to gain the kind of experience that we want. And you can assist those by giving them small jobs to do, but at the same time, they must be doing the perfect and quality job. But the reality at the same time, MEC, is that a number of enterprises that we have on our databases are not there for the same objectives. You have got those who would just register companies only to be there to have their hands on the government funds, simply because they are friends to some of the officials who take decisions. You will get this bid, and then even if they don't deliver, nothing will happen. We have seen such instances. Then you have those who are genuine, who will register companies, have some kind of skills, and they will make sure that as and when they are given these tenders, they do the best of their ability to build the reputation of their own company and build those particular skills, because they would want to see their companies growing. So we are saying we should be able to differentiate between genuine and those who are not genuine. Those who are just there to essentially loot in a formal way, you see. So, otherwise, those who are genuine, of course, we will expect you to explain. We are not saying clean your database and get rid of them. But if I was given a project to supply certain things, and for whatever reason I fail to supply, then it means I'm not interested in supplying business. All I needed was money. But the person who's determined will make sure, and they will even understand that the more I cause this delay is the more I create problems for this department. And the quicker I deliver is the more chances I have to get more tenders, you see. So those are genuine suppliers. So we understand your challenges in Limpopo, that you have to get people from Gauteng doing these things. But at the same time, you must be cautious in terms of who you give the tenders. Not everybody on the database is genuine. Thank you, honorable members. MECs, thank you very much for being with us today. I hope this will go a long way in making sure that there's improvement in terms of your expenditure, and particularly in terms of service delivery going forward. We have made a commitment yesterday with your other colleagues from other provinces, the five provinces that appeared yesterday, that when you come the next time, we'll make sure that you rather come and not only present on this one grant, but you will respond on all four of them as they fall under this particular department, so that we have progress, because other provinces, they have adopted an integrated approach in terms of how do they allocate projects under all those
because there's some overlapping in terms of... So we will be communicating with you. And some of the projects, of course, during our constituency period and during the provincial week, as you know, that will be in the provinces as NCOP, will devise some means that we visit some of your projects just to confirm the existence, and if there are any concerns, members from your provinces will communicate direct with you and your departments. And I wish to thank you very much for honoring this appointment, and this meeting stays adjourned. I would request honorable members, that is members of this committee, to remain for a while for a very short meeting.